Yatoush begins now. We will get to Will the Yatoush trivia. It is a Wisconsin Geography Wednesday.
Ooh, I like
I know
those.
Everybody enjoys that. At some point, given your residency in California.
Yeah, you still remember things about Wisconsin out there, old T?
I think tomorrow should be California Geography Trivia Thursday.
No, Pirates tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Taush, I do want to talk a little bit about, because we both are now in the club of Jordan Love most likely playing on Sunday, which you were in far before I was. But that's no sure thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, you have limited experience with this because your quarterbacks played through a ton. But you mentioned in 08 when Rodgers had the shoulder injury. I actually asked Tom Clements about that last week. And he said that he did do stuff in practice. He just did a lot of handoffs. And then Matt Flynn basically did the throwing plays in team. I'm curious, this week, if you have to make sure that Malik Willis is ready, if for some reason Jordan has a setback or doesn't feel like he's ready, how do you manage the snaps in practice to get Jordan Love prepared? And this is, it may sound like I'm rehearsing my question to the head coach, but I'm not entirely sure that no matter how I ask that question, I'm going to get much of an answer from him. So I'm going to ask you instead.
Yeah, I don't know because it's different. I mean, obviously we saw some different things from the Malik Willis-led offense compared to what Jordan has done. It's just there was more motion, there was more misdirection, and obviously there's a lot more quarterback runs, or at least some. So I think what you do is you simplify your plan. You put it in place, and I think you prep as if Jordan's going to be the guy, but you also continue to let Malik do his thing, and you kind of go back off of the things you've already done. I don't think you're going to add a lot of new things for him. I think you kind of keep his – you almost have a little package ready for him, and then you stick with your original game plan. And as far as how you divvy those reps up, I think I would be pretty close to 50-50 – you know, in my distribution on Wednesday. And then maybe when it comes to red zone, 2 minute, you give both guys some opportunities. You a lot of times you'll run two minutes. You'll go ones versus twos, and then your two offense, let Malik run that versus the ones. You probably go down that road, but it is tricky. And I think when you're limited in your time and your rep count, you have to be very deliberate about what you're doing. So the plays that you would only run with Malik, you run those, you rep it, you see how it looks, and then everything else is based around Jordan, and you try to get Malik as up to speed on that as you can. That's how I would approach it.
And then from a getting ready mentally perspective, you and Brian both talked about the mental versus the physical of coming back. Again, you guys were right tackles, not quarterbacks. But how crucial is it that he pushed it with the things that he did in his workout before the game, which was, I mean, let's be honest, it was him taking snaps and running and throwing, but that's all by himself with trainers. It's not the same as what he's going to face in practice or certainly in the game. How hard does he need to push it during the week to A, get confidence, and B, to really test whether or not his knee can handle running in different directions and cutting and throwing on the move?
It's a good question. I think you're obviously not going to get hit. You know you're not going to get hit. There is, you know, running out of the pocket. I think the big thing, standing in the pocket and delivering the football and planting off of your foot and, you know, landing on your knee and all of those things you can get a little bit better vibe for. And the big thing is just getting back up to speed. You know, you can do all the stuff that he did on Sunday out in Tennessee, but quarterback play is still third and six. Can you stand in the pocket and deliver? Can you avoid a pass rush and keep your eyes down the field and not get kind of ghosty? That's the tricky part of coming back from an injury. So I think for as much as you'd love to replicate that in a practice setting, you're not going to get that until you play. So you do all the stuff. You try and do as much things as game speed. I would definitely want to do a 2 minute with him because that gives you all of that. It gives you your tempo. It gives you everything that you're looking for without getting hit. So that would be something that I would really focus. And then blitz pickup, standing in that pocket when a bunch of bodies around. That's when you get a little squeamish when you have a knee.
Sure.
Because you don't like people at your legs. You don't want that. And I don't think you're going to, you know, obviously you're going to stay away from him in practice. But that those are the things that I'm concerned about if I'm Jordan Love. And in retrospect, probably Matt LaFleur is probably thinking we want to try and get him to feel as comfortable as he can. But the bottom line is he's not going to feel comfortable until he gets out there and he's got his first 3rd and 7. He's got to stand in against Flores' blitz package and he takes a hit or somebody rolls into him and he sees that it's okay. That's really the only way you get comfortable.
All right, last thing on this so we can play trivia because, again, because of your knee history and your experience, you have more insight than most. How do you get over the temptation to play cautiously? Or does it take, you know, you're talking about getting rolled into to make sure your knee is okay. It takes a hit and it's fine. What about, like, do your instincts take over and you forget that you're playing with a bad knee that isn't fully healed? Are you, is it just fight or flight mechanism? Like, I'm curious that you talked about the mental part early in the show. I'm curious, once you get into the, I hate it when they use live bullets, so I would say into the heat of the action, if you just forget about it or if it's more in the back of your mind and you are thinking about it. I'm sure that varies from player to player, but how critical is that piece of this?
Yeah, it's in the back of your mind before you're on the field. That's the part that's hard. And then when you get out there, you don't have time. If you have Julius Peppers lined up over you, you don't have time to start thinking about that. You're like, I better get my butt back. I better get set and I better get moving. Same thing with Jordan. If you're thinking about that at all, you should not be out there playing. When you're out there, if there's any of those doubts that creep into your head as a play is going on, you're beat. You shouldn't be out there. It's totally, I get it. Human nature is what it is, and we all have it. I know, you know, coming back from my first ACL, we played the Vikings the opener, and I'd never been more nervous because I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think about all that. Injuries, the last thing. You're nervous because you want to go out and play well and you want to do all that, but then you compound that with this other part. It's a lot mentally. And once you get a couple of plays, you're not thinking, I can assure you, I was not thinking in the middle of the second quarter, boy, I hope my knee holds up. I'm thinking, man, I hope I block Robinson or whoever was over there
right.
playing. That's where it's at. You're not, if I'm at all thinking, ooh, boy, I don't know, my knee's not going to hold up against, you know, whoever's rushing, I'm beat.
Really good insight. I appreciate that. All right, we need to play trivia. It is Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. Jesse, what caller would you like today? And are you going to make Pablo answer the phone?
Yeah, we actually shared responsibilities yesterday. And
you shared the same phone?
Well, it's better than sharing a taco.
Nice.
I don't know. Seems to me the taco is delicious.
No one's taking a bite out of the phone. Caller number 8. Let's do eight.
If you're going to share responsibilities, let's do 16.
Double it. Sure. All right.
Yeah. Caller 16.
We're not going to alt. I'm not taking the odds. He's taking the evens. That's not how
you
this
are
is going to work.
You are now. Okay? And I'm going to call in and see if I'm see
great.
Who answers.
All right. Looking forward
Maybe
to
I'll
it.
Maybe I'll be caller 16. Then I'll really make things interesting because I've got the answers. All right. Caller 16 right now for Wilde and Tausch Trivia. It is Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. Jesse and Pablo are standing by waiting for your call. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 16. We'll play one. Remind you, Behind the Bucks Going for Gold is the latest episode of Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network presented by Gallagher. It features Bucks stars sharing their experiences from competing on the world's biggest stage, the Olympics. From battling against their Bucks teammates to teaming up with fierce rivals, all for the glory of a gold medal. Behind the Bucks offers unique access and deep storytelling for Bucks fans, unlike ever before. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Find it on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast. Trivia's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
What I want, you've got that in mind. Time for trivia. Is it just me, Jesse, or has it been a long time since we had a first-time contestant?
It does feel like it's been a minute.
It's been a while.
A lot of the regulars showing up, which is great.
Yeah,
we love the regulars,
love their loyalty
too.
Yeah. Sure.
But it's nice to get a new look in there every once in a while.
We got one today. Let's welcome in our contestant. He is a first-time contestant. Same sound effect as latitudinally. It is Butch in Waukesha. Bush, good morning. Butch, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. Pulling my head out of the blender after listening to Homer there before, but other than that, doing pretty good.
At least I didn't call you Mishmel Schmalman, which is also a trip up that I've been known to make from time to time. All right, Butch, here we go. Let's play some trivia in Wisconsin Geography Trivia Wednesday. Here is question one. West Salem, Onalaska, and Holman are all communities surrounding which of these larger Wisconsin cities?
I know.
Do they surround La Crosse, Madison, or Dubuque if it were to be annexed by Wisconsin like Tausch wants it to be?
I tell you what, I spent 5 fuzzy years at UW-Lax on all that street there. So very pretty familiar with that area. We'll go with La Crosse.
Ah, the Cooley region, and we're one for one.
Dude, I just saw the little purple thumbs went up again. I haven't figured out what the hell's going on.
Oh, no, I missed it. Was it when I was reading the question?
Double thumbs, yeah.
That's better than the double bird. All right, question two, Butch. Is this once back from his California adventure? Tausch needs to travel from Janesville north to Stevens Point. Well, what do you got going on in Stevens Point?
Potato corridor.
Sure. On which interstate can Tausch travel for the entirety of his drive from Janesville to Stevens Point? Would that be I-94, I-43, or I-39?
Tell you what, I don't know where Auburndale is on that, but I believe we can get from Janesville to Stevens Point via I-39.
Yes, sir!
Bingo!
Oh, yes, sir!
Two for two, Butchie! All right, here we go. Butch's Baloney Bash, question three.
That was what my bachelor party was, too.
Let me tell you something. Butch's Baloney Bash, we ain't remembering any of these questions. I feel fairly confident about that.
It's from all the baloney that's consumed. Question three is this. Longitudinally, which of these Wisconsin cities is located farthest east? Farthest east.
This is a toughie, Butch.
Okay.
Is it Montello, Monticello, or Fremont?
Oh, my Lord. This is going to be a wild guess. Unfortunately, I'm not looking at a map. I'm going to say Fremont.
Tausch?
Tausch?
I'm going to say Monticello.
Is that how you're supposed to say that?
I believe it's Monticello here in Monticello. Yeah. Jefferson's is one way and Wisconsin's the other way. I forget which one is
I think
which.
It's Monticello. I think I covered a prep game there once. All right. One of you is right, as Jesse likes to say. And it's Butch.
Yeah, atta boy, Butch.
Woo!
Atta boy, Butch.
All right.
quite a debut, showing off your UW lacrosse diploma and doing the Screamin' Eagles proud. You are 3 for 3, giving you 4 entries into Friday's drawing. Butchie, well done, sir.
Beautiful. All right, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Will D'Antouche trivia.
You know what else is in lacrosse?
Granddad's Bluff.
Yeah, the best mountain in Wisconsin.
And what else? You know what's headquartered in lacrosse?
Quick Trip!
Yeah! Oh,
come on! Hey, Packer season is upon us. And
we got
Quick Trip
there.
Has great prizes all season long with the Quick Rewards Packer Zone. You can win a 2024 Chevy Traverse, Z71, an Aaron snowblower, Packers game tickets, and much, much more. All the things that we love here on Wilde and Tausch, and entering is uber easy. Use your Quick Rewards when making purchases at Quick Trip, and you'll earn a Fan Zone point for every dollar you spend at Quick Trip. Every dollar. Just stop in for some Glazers, or you can get those Dunkers. You can sign up for those Dunkers that you can get for a year. All of it. You can get Nature's Touch milk on a weekend morning before heading to your kids' sports activities. Fan Zone points. Keep track in your Quick Rewards app in the Fan Zone section and start using your points in that Packer Zone. Get on it now. You have through October 31st. One winner will win 18 tickets to a Packers private suite experience for the November 25th game. Start spending today for all these Packers Zone prizes. Download the Quick Rewards app in your app store and visit quicktrip.com/fanzone for full details.
Just out of curiosity, since I'm a needler, when you went to see Chuck Ebbs at Zimbrick, when you got your Tahoe, did you look at the Traverse too? Or did you look at the Traverse?
What do you mean?
Oh, snap.
What are you saying?
He's saying you said Tahoe funny. You said it Tahoe.
No, he said Traverse.
I never said Tahoe.
He said Traverse funny. He said Traverse.
So, you know what? Since we're going to be jerks, we're going to misspell things that are misspelled. I'm not going to sell out who wrote the copy. I'm reading it. It's Traverse. It says Traverse. I'm not going to rip on the people that did that. You are, what a jerk store you are, Wildy. I'm glad it's 11:30 or whatever time it is, because that's irritating. I am going to crush you every last word. You butchered Butch's name. I didn't come at you.
Yes,
I did
you,
this.
I saw your
Traverse
face when I called Butch Bush, and you were ready.
Did I say
to
a
pounce
word? Did I
just
crush
kept
you
going?
Like I could have, like a
I didn't leave you an opening,
facial expressions,
old boy.
Don't count. Don't back down, Tausch.
Oh, my gosh. You, of all people, all the flip and flops you do, and I don't crush you on everyone, and you get me with a Traverse. Oh, you opened up a can of worms, son, and you ain't going to like it. I can tell you that right now. Retired Navy fella.
What about the Equinox?
I just wanted to see if he would back down or not.
You get some swine if you get an equine knox.
I'm going to keep doing the show even though Tausch is mad at me now. We're going to do Whoa Nelly next, so stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
We've got an interesting development in the YouTube comment section. People are now playing along with trivia. Dennis apparently was 1 for 3. Ivywood Records was... No, Dennis was 2 for 3. Ivywood Records 1 for 3. So now we've got a new
Records
tradition.
Ivywood Records needs to dial it back in the comments section.
You're following along too. He's a little too comment heavy.
That's been a theme for a while. Ivywood Records just needs to chill. You pop open a Coors Light and chill a little bit in the comments
section.
What's
wrong with Ivy League Records? What's he doing?
Oversaturation. oversaturated? Or maybe like you can put all your thoughts in one comment instead of like two words for all the different comments.
How is that affecting your life?
Meanwhile, over in the ESPN Milwaukee chat, Amfam Rolfs, which I don't think is his real name, also having a little Ivywood Records-like run of many comments. So for those of you that don't join us in the YouTube chats, feel free on the ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison YouTube channels. Time now for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Guys, I'm gonna break the rules in this segment.
You don't even know the rules.
Oh, I know this rule. I'm going to let Pablo pop the mic at one point here coming up.
Did he get cleared during the show?
No, he hasn't yet. But remember that
Jesse,
one day?
Jesse, be careful, man. I don't think violating corporate policy just to get Pablo some airtime is, unless you're trying to get suspended so you get some time off from the show.
This is going
to
be good. We did this. Remember Riley did this when he ratted out his dad for his driver's license, too, before he was cleared? That was a thing. So we're okay. And this is up Pablo's alley. The Chicago White Sox are one loss away, from breaking the record of the modern baseball era since 1900 for the most losses in a single season. They are 37-120 entering play today against the Los Angeles Angels, who are also very bad. Here's the question. 17,000 were in attendance yesterday at Guaranteed Rate Field in Chicago, and the White Sox mounted a late comeback to win against the Angels, spoiling all those fans' chances to witness history for the White Sox becoming the losingest team in a single season. Do you think the fans in attendance were excited that their team came back for a victory or disappointed that they didn't set the all-time record while they were there?
Excited that they won. You don't go to the ballpark for your team and root for losses. Unless you're a masochist, which maybe you are. But no, you go to watch your team win the game, not set a losingest record in the history of the world type of deal. I hope that your fan base isn't that beaten down. I'm sure there are some, but I it would not be me. I would not go strictly for that reason.
I'm with Tausch. I'm also very much on very laser focused that I make sure that I don't make any verbal mistakes for the remainder of the program.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, by the way, I know what a big fan of this guy you are. I found this at a thrift store. Check out the signature on that glove, buddy. It's a Tony Gwynn model.
Yeah, but the problem is he was a lefty. Like, he threw left.
Well, yeah, but I'm not left-handed.
I know, but what Tony Gwynn's not going to be using a right-handed glove.
Well, no, but it's the Tony Gwynn model.
It's just
He doesn't hold it against me for being right-handed.
He didn't say it was Tony Gwynn's glove.
He did not use it in a game. No, that's
true.
Yeah,
I'd like Tony Gwynn's glove. I didn't give two rips about a model Tony Gwynn glove. Like, I love Tony Gwynn. He is my equivalent both as a basketball and baseball player. I emulated my game after Tony Gwynn in both accounts. I didn't know it.
And like him, you rarely struck out against Greg Maddux.
I didn't strike out much. That was not my deal. And I hit a lot of lazy bloopers. I was a lefty. I didn't throw left-handed, but I batted left-handed. And I loved hitting little bleeders down the third base line and legging out doubles and stuff like that. That's what my boy TG did too.
Legging out doubles.
You know that's right.
Well, I was going to ask Pablo as a White Sox fan if he was at the game and how he felt about this, but I feel like we've moved on now. So maybe
how was he at the game?
No, if he,
you got him working 25 hours a day.
If he was at the game,
what he would be doing?
If he, yeah.
No. I think we've done Pablo and you a favor by not allowing him on.
Nelly!
I think that's what we've done here.
All right, then I got some something else for us to do, and Pablo's going to have to wait his turn. Sorry, pal.
I thought that glove thing was going to go over more better than that. It's just because I pissed you off in the previous segment.
He's coming
for
it. He's not backing down.
I thought I would traverse that subject pretty well.
How has the song "I Won't Back Down" not been played today?
I don't know.
We're closing with it. We've been building to it. It's a three-hour tour.
Just like you got that audio I asked for 3 hours ago too. On me,
I never said I was going to get that. The latest college football bowl projections are up over at ESPN.com.
What week are we in?
We're heading into week...
Week premature.
Well, we're heading into week five. It is the projections following week four. Mm.
Okay. This is dumb.
Where the Badgers are headed.
They're not on the list.
Is that right?
I don't know. That's a guess.
That is a correct guess.
Yeah. So they have us not bowl eligible.
ESPN's panel of college football writers doing the prognosticating do not predict the Badgers will be bowl eligible at the end of the season.
Ouch.
Right. Snapping one of the nation's longest streaks.
I can't make predictions. I want you guys to go through the schedule, go WL, because they'll have to get to five wins probably to be bowl eligible because of the academic standing we have and et cetera, et cetera. Minnesota got in with five. Six guarantees a bowl. Five, you probably sneak in. All right, Jesse. So, I can't predict.
Okay, so
go ahead.
So we're leaving this up to Jason to have to do it. All right. the Badgers do have two wins. They are 2-1 entering play at USC this weekend. Jason?
I love the fact that the radio color analyst.
We could call the color analyst to join us again. He could offer his insight.
That's true.
Loss.
Home Purdue the following week, 11 a.m.
Win. That gets them to 3.
At Rutgers, who's unbeaten as of now.
Loss.
Oh, boy. At Northwestern at the Baby Stadium.
Win. That's 4.
Okay.
Home Penn State, Halloween weekend.
As much as Halloween weekend is big in Madison, loss.
At Brian Belaga, Iowa.
Loss.
Oh, really?
Yes, and they're going to get outscored 14-13.
Sounds like last year's game. Home against Oregon.
I think you know what's going to happen in that one.
Quack, quack. At Nebraska. They're good this year.
I really have trouble with Matt Rhule. Upset City. Badgers go into Lincoln and win.
And home Minnesota Black Friday.
There you go. There's 6.
We're good. So really, as long as, and Tausch says they only need 5, so as long as they win 2 of the 3 in the Purdue-Rutgers-Northwestern stretch,
yeah,
and then they beat Minnesota, that would be 5, and we'd feel good.
You guys are that down on this team. That's where you guys
No. I was trying to go with the worst-case scenario. Can they still get in?
I am that down on the team, yes.
No, I think they could beat Rutgers.
You just picked them to lose.
Right, because I am trying... You're not even allowed to participate in this activity, so I don't know why you're critiquing what I'm doing. That's me. That's fake outrage. Because I wanted to see if they lose some games that you would hope that they would win, if they could still get the bowl eligibility. That's how I approached this. I had the schedule in front of me as well. I did this ahead of time. So my point is that even if some games that you would like to believe they will win, they lose and stumble, they still can get to 6 without really it being that difficult. So I am surprised that they are listed in the manner in which they are.
It's as I always enjoy doing with this show, I like to get the mood and psychological setup of where our fans are. That is one of the things I love about doing this show. And I would think if you, as one of the more optimistic folks, are looking at it from this perspective, I wonder if that's where Badger fans are as a whole. I am very distraught that that is maybe where it's leaning. We've lost one game to a really good football team. Now, is there question marks? And absolutely. I'm not sitting here trying to be Pollyanna. I'm not. But that's a very telling deal that you and Jesse both are scrapping to get to 5 or 6 wins.
I used to feel, Tausch, like no matter the competition, the Badgers' defense would be able to keep them in the game.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I no longer feel that way going into some of these big opponents and these big games. I fear that Rutgers could put 31 on us. I fear that Oregon could put 45 on us at Camp Randall. And that's not something that I've ever felt before as a Badger football fan, at least in my conscious time as a Badger football fan.
It's disappointing. I understand where you're coming from. The defense has given up more than I think a lot of us hoped or anticipated, and the challenges will continue to be difficult. So I get it. It's a very eye-opening to hear that coming from you guys and from all of these ESPN experts that have Wisconsin not being bowl eligible, and we're 2-1 3 weeks into a season. But I get it. I don't agree with it, but I get it.
Jesse, I know the music has run out after our little exercise, but we still have time for more Whoa Nellies if you have any.
Sure, I can do one
Whoa
more here.
Nelly!
Do we want to talk about hot messes in the NFL, or do we want to talk about seeing ghosts?
I would like the hot messes because one of my favorite players is part of the hot mess.
Sure. All right.
And he's trying very hard to keep a stiff upper lip and act like he's happy there.
I feel like we have more hot messes in the NFL this year early in the season than we're more accustomed to in years past. The Giants are a hot mess. The Raiders are the latest team that's a hot mess. The Panthers already benched their number one overall pick a couple of years ago. They're a hot mess. The Cowboys are a hot mess. The Raiders are sticking with Gardner Minshew after benching him for Aiden O'Connell, my guy, against the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. Devontae Adams is still a member of the Las Vegas Raiders. Do you think that he will be traded before the deadline in, 6 weeks, something like that? You think they get rid of him, Tausch?
I do. I think the Raiders are going to, when you start to call out your players for making business decisions in the third week of the season, things are not going to turn around. And they're in a tough division. There's a lot of things working against them. And Devontae Adams is one of the pieces that you, as a veteran player, you're going to try and help. He is a pro's pro. A lot of teams will want him. You'll be able to get some draft capital back. And I think you're going to see, as this season continues on, it's going to continue and continue. It would be best to make that move, yes. I would think for both parties.
If you're Devontae, do you want to go to the Jets then? Or would you rather go somewhere else?
I think I'd want to go to the Jets.
Yeah.
Stock's up right now.
I am fascinated by this. Antonio Pierce, I can't figure out if he's a really good coach or if he's got a lot of that ex-player thing in him. Like, saying what he said, Tausch.
Yeah.
But guys, is that good head coaching or is that bad head coaching?
Desperate head coaching.
That's true. Yeah.
So I wouldn't say good, bad, or indifferent. It's desperate.
I know this is not realistic, but can you play the game with me for a moment here?
Sure.
If the Jets and the Packers were both interested in trading for Devontae Adams, which team do you think he would be, if he had his druthers, which team would he choose to go play for the rest of the season? And again, I don't see the Packers offering anything up there, but if that were to happen, where would he rather go?
Great Green question, Bay. 1148.
Green Bay.
Why?
Great follow-up.
We're a lot better. We have a quarterback. We have the system. He knows it, and he knows we're going to win. That's why.
Would he be able to have a Taco Bell installed into his new house in Green Bay when he returned? All right, that is it for Whoa Nelly.
Yeah, Jesse, great job bringing that up at 948.
Pacific.
Well, if it not, that is a great 9:48 topic.
Just you wait, Tausch. Tomorrow, the Brewers' first pitch for you is at 9:40 a.m.
Is that right? Yeah. Oh, I'm excited for that.
We will wrap things up at 9:49. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Won't back down. No, I won't back down.
The king of not backing down, Mark Tauscher. Now, by the way, I love Tom Petty, RIP. I am curious, in your conversations with Dav, has he had any other critiques for the show? Kind of like, or is he just down on me because I thought he looked a little gray in the video
like
that he acted in?
I don't think he's thoroughly enjoyed.
He is nominated for Best Supporting Actor in a Tausch headline so far.
Oh, he's got no chance of beating out my my appearance in The Blind Side, though.
Have you gotten yours done yet?
What do you think?
Well, I gave you, just for the record, don't complain when it gets to be that time and you have to then rush, or you just don't do it. And then I'm going to tell you, the Academy won't be pleased if that happens.
I'm not really pleased. I'll tell you what. I'm not real pleased with the Academy.
Well, get over it.
Oh, snap.
I was in no way consulted. I was just given a script. Multiple,
you got two scripts.
Multiple
I wanted to
scripts.
Include you and your crew. Your daughters love being on camera.
They
like
don't.
This.
Not really. For these purposes.
At least you weren't given a script while you were also told to drive them somewhere for a remote.
You're so lucky.
Okay.
All right. I am considering using Stella and Sadie in my films.
Okay.
The dogs playing the supporting actor roles, and then maybe having someone do a voiceover as the dogs' voices. So that's kind of where I'm leaning. So yes, that is on the to-do list. I have a very long to-do list, but that is on there. I assure you it's on there. So so just so we understand your schedule.
Yeah.
You're at Dav's Casa there until throughout the rest of the week.
Is the whole team staying there with you when they get out there?
He's got a big enough beautiful place that he could, although he's having some plumbing issues that is getting
Were they caused by you?
No, I don't believe so, but something tells me that's how the story will go down the road. That
giving
it will
new meaning to the word plopper, who that used to just mean where you put your toilet paper.
Yeah. KohlerServicesWI.com could use we could get Kohler Services out here. It wouldn't hurt anybody. I think I have not quite figured out. I am heading to L.A. Friday at some point. I haven't figured out how that's all going to work yet. I might be doing the show in the car. I'm joking, Jesse.
Oh, my God.
I'm joking. No. So, yes, that is the plan as we sit here right now.
All right. Just to make sure you are joking, because that would be challenging. And we better have Brian Bulaga, living through a hurricane, ready to step in if we need him. All right.
We got Bulaga with no internet in a hurricane and Tausch driving in a car on the 405. And we got to figure out a show between the two of them.
All right. I am headed to Lambeau Field next. We will see what happens with Jordan Love today. We'll see what Matt LaFleur is willing to say about Jordan Love today. We're going to do our best.
What is he going to say? Well, why don't you predict? I know you love
predicting.
Oh,
you think I'm a dad joke guy. He's corny now.
He's going to
go back to the limited repeatedly.
I think he's going to try and freshen.
No.
You can't go back to the same deal. You can't.
Oh, he can. And he most likely will. We'll find out together, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Thanks to Homer. Thanks to Bulaga. Thanks to you for coming along for the ride with us. You should make fun of me for that. The show's almost over, though.
No, I'm not a total jerk, so I'm not going to.
Well, not a total. That's it for us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.